forever, I'm gonna worship you. I'm gonna worship you forever. Hallelujah. Let's just worship him for me. God, you are worthy. God, we worship you. We lift you up, God. God, we give you the glory, God. For everything that's been good in our lives, we worship you, God. We bless your name. God, we focus on you. Our minds are on you right now. God, our thoughts are directed towards you right now, God. Oh, God, we just love your peace and your joy, God. We love your love, God. God, you are good. Hallelujah, God. Praise God. You can be seated tonight. God is good tonight. And every night. I had you sit right away because tonight's going to be a little bit different. We're not going to read a verse. I got some announcements, some things I want to talk through. We'll call it like a family meeting, maybe, to start out. And then we have a little bit of a message here that I feel like God has for us. But before we begin, my brother-in-law, Travis, and his wife, Anna, that's my sister, for those of you guys that don't know her, and their whole family, Austin, Gianna, Luke, Ella, are here. I'm so excited to have my family, my parents. My other sister, she's back. She doesn't go to church anymore, so she's at home watching TV. I'm just kidding. They don't come in till Monday or Tuesday or something, so... but I love having you guys. You guys are so awesome. So Summer Fun Fest. We're excited about Summer Fun Fest. For those of you that don't know, it's coming up on August 3rd. We've been announcing this. We've been sending out flyers to our community. Not the whole city of Madison, but this area kind of right around us. 4,600 homes, apartments, duplexes, whatever. 4,600 places of dwelling received one of these. And just so we're clear, the focus of Summer Fun Fest this year... yes, is to have fun in the summer, right? But the focus is to reintroduce this church to this community. That's our focus, right? And so if that's our focus, then it's about, if we're the church, then it's about this community. If I'm having guests to my house, we clean the house. And when people come in, if there's not enough room on the couch, my children might sit not on the couch, right? Because we want to be a good host to our home. We want to represent our family well. And that's the same thing we want to do here. And so I would ask you, family, church family, Calvary Gospel family, let's be welcoming. Let's be good hosts when we have a lot of visitors. I know you all are. I'm just reminding us, just like I have to remind my kids, you know, be good in church. I know they're going to be good, but I have to remind them. Also, if some crazy thing happens and we get way more people than we anticipated, we are going to have an overflow space in the fellowship hall. And I hope that it's a race for all of us, except for me, I got to speak. For all of us to be on the other side of that. I hope that if people start coming in, it's like, okay, hold on, we got to adjust a little bit. But guess what? I'm going to give up my seat so that a guest can be here. Okay, so that's one. Also, when we get to the lines, I'm showing you ways we can be hospitable. How cool is that? When the lines start queuing up, and I'm from England now, it's a queue, not a line. When the lines start queuing up out back, let's let our guests and the elderly and maybe people with accessibility needs work their way out there first, okay? We can do that. There's lots of food, okay? But also, it's a little bit of a change of mindset because as much as I love a birthday party for me, this is about others because that's what we're supposed to be doing, right? And so it's a change of mindset about it's about the mission and not us, okay? It's about out there, not in here. That's what we're focusing on, okay? And so I do want to take a chance. I tried to do this last Wednesday. I got home. My wife said I butchered it and did a horrible job. And she was right. But putting on something like this is a big to-do, right? Pastor Phil, it's like his full-time job right now just doing this, you know? So he's had to avoid cheese bread for a whole week. It's been horrible, you know? See, I get you back. No, but there's so much that goes into this with Pastor Phil and Sister Jessica and everybody, like what we're doing to put this on. We have inflatables we've rented, right? We have tents that we've rented. We have blankets we have bought. Phil, did you show those? Oh, you showed it. Phil, we had a blanket. This is really cool, right? To give out as gifts. the food that we're having a sand pile delivered. And kids, we bury like gems and coins and fossils inside the sand pile. It's like the most popular thing every year, right? And then there's all these sporting events and all this stuff. But to put this on is not a, it's not a cheap thing, okay? It's, there's some costs to it. There's cost to missions. There's a cost to us and financially, but also in what we do, right? And so I'm asking that if you are, if you would like to be a part of what we're doing, I'm not going to make you raise hands or come down to the front and all that. I'm just going to tell you some of the costs and how a dollar could make an impact. And then you could decide for your family how or if you would like to be a part of this. So let me give you an example. We sent out 4,600 flyers. Well, 4,598, apparently. There's two left. We sent out 4,600 flyers. That costs about $1,500. So if you said, hey, I want to donate $500, you just sent out a flyer. You planted a seed, as Brother Buster would say, to a third of our community. That's pretty cool. If you said, hey, I want to give $100, you just got 7 blankets for guests. And whether that's a guest now, or maybe we have a couple extra and they come in January and we're like, free gift, and they get a blanket there. We were able to get all the food. I think it was just about $2,000. All the food. That's pretty good. We are trying to be financially smart with what we're doing, but not be cheap and look stupid. You know, we want it to look cool. We want it to represent ourselves well. But we're going to have hamburgers and hot dogs and brats and watermelon and all this. We're finding good ways to do this. And so just with the food, if you said, hey, I want to give $100, you're helping feed 25 people, right? That's a pretty cool thing. Tents are $3,000. Bounce houses are $2,000. I know what missionaries are like when they come up here and sell their projects, right? Right. Even the sand has a cost. If you give nothing, that's on you. That's okay. I'm not here to judge. I'm just saying that if you want to take part and be a part of it, there's a lot of awesome things we're doing, and it'd be great for us as a family to bind together and donate however we can. A meal costs $4. Maybe you can give 2 meals worth, whatever it is. Do what's on your heart and what's in your budget. So, but like I said, this whole thing is about out there. It's about our community. It's about the mission and not us. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, is the mission over me. Okay? That's the idea. For those of you that don't know, we've seen our theme for the year, for 2025, for the remainder of the year, has been a good work. Okay? Philippians 1:6 says this: being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. So we've been talking about how God has already started the good work in you. There's no prerequisites. He started it in you, right? And that it's a good work. He's doing a good work, even if at times it feels painful or stressful or whatever. God is doing a good work. And the third thing we notice is that he will complete it, right? This is what we've been talking about. And the last part of it, though, is that we have to submit to his work. Right? We've had a bunch of different messages kind of weaving in and out of this theme. And so the theme is a good work. And tonight, though, I want to talk about Aaron Rodgers. Come on. Is that how they do it in New York, Travis? You got hecklers when you preach? Is that, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, the New York crowd. I get it. How many people read the news this week about Aaron Rodgers? He's with the Steelers now, in case you didn't know. Apparently, he instituted a rule with his teammates: no flushing the toilets at night. No flushing the toilets at night because he needs to sleep so he can practice hard. So imagine there's, I don't know, 80, 90 men, football players, pro football players, making millions of dollars, living in an area near each other, and he creates this rule: no flushing the toilets. So you know what his star receiver decided to do? He said, I'm going to text him every night to see if he's awake. And if he's awake, I can flush the toilet. If he's not, I won't flush the toilet. Seems like a team player, doesn't it? What do you think his focus is on? His focus right now seems to be on sleep. And maybe it's on winning a Super Bowl, but the history we know of Aaron Rodgers is likely about himself, likely about something that's not a Super Bowl. Who knows? I'm not going to judge his intentions. I'm just going to judge the fruit for the last 25 years. Okay? You think about the New England Patriots. If I asked you, other than the year Randy Moss was a wide receiver, if I asked you to name a list of their wide receivers, most people can't because they all looked like me. Julian Edelman, Wes Welker, Chris Hansen or whatever his name was, right? All the world's greatest quarterback had thrown to receivers that looked like me and Rob Gronkowski, right? But you know what their theme was? They won six Super Bowls. Their theme was to do your job. It didn't matter that they had the biggest or fastest wide receivers. They had the people that were bought into the mission. And the mission was that if we will do our job, we will go far in a season. I may not be the best wide receiver in the league, and that might not be the best offensive lineman, but if he worries about offensive linemaning or blocking, and I worry about catching the ball, we're going to be fine. But if I'm worried about the noise he's making as he's going to bed with the toilet, there's probably some things that are going to happen. And we know the story about the Patriots because they won six Super Bowls. Tom Brady won seven. We see it all the times with athletic teams. You see it when teams have the best players. In baseball, you could buy the best team. But sometimes these teams have issues because people and other things become more important than the mission. Contracts become more important than the mission. Let me tell you, I'm a 49er fan. I have felt that. We're going to hold out till the beginning of season and then walk in on day one and break our leg because we haven't been practicing. Because my contract was more important than the mission. And that's okay. I get it. But we see it with teams where contracts and girlfriends and offenses, and this guy said this to me in the locker room, and now we're beefing, and I'm not going to. You never see the team go or win the Super Bowl that's got the issues. Because for them, it's about something different than the mission. The Patriots are willing to lay aside what the other people think. They're willing to lay aside the fact that they might not be the best. They're willing to lay aside their little petty bickering because the mission is important. It's the most important. Doing your job is the most important. When I was in the Army, we used to fly the helicopters overseas. And what's interesting is they talk about people in the service. And they say the men and women that serve together, especially in a wartime environment, they have this bond that's really hard to explain. But I can't explain it. The bond exists because the mission was way more important than me. The bond exists because the mission was more important than what people thought. Because when you're sitting in a helicopter holding a machine gun pointing that way and everybody else can't see what you can see, they're relying on you. And so what your hair color looks like, what your skin color looks like, what state you came from doesn't really matter. Because the mission is what's important. And so you see that in the Army, and that's why there's this bonding. There's this unity a lot in these groups of soldiers because of what they are going through together. I've seen this too in my own life. If you've ever been a part of some sort of help group, recovery group, if you've ever been an addict and had to go through some sort of recovery, there's this bond that forms. And do you know why the bond forms? Because you're all so far at the bottom, it doesn't matter. What matters is the mission that you were trying to accomplish. And the mission is crawling my way out of the bottom. And so I don't care what you look like or what you did. I don't care what anything else is. My mission is more important than me and my thoughts and my emotions and my feelings. And because of that, there's unity. What we see in these examples is that when a group of people or a team is moving in the same direction for the same reason, they have unity. When they are moving in the same direction for the same reason, they have unity. I think too often we try to preach a message on, let's all be unified. Oh, just Derek, don't be offended. That's how we have unity. And it's all about don't do this and don't do that and stay away from here and try doing this and just, you know, go shake that person's hand after church. Right? This is unity. That's not unity. That's acting. It's doing good things. But I think unity comes out when people are moving in the same direction for the same reason. The Webster's Dictionary says unity is the quality or state of being one, a condition of harmony. The Bible in Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, this is Paul speaking to Ephesus. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, there is one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Paul is saying there's one thing that matters, and it's Jesus. There's one thing that matters, and it's the mission. And this is where the Bible starts to talk about unity, and the word unity is only translated into the English word unity three times in the Bible. But here it says, the idea behind this verse is that it's a state of oneness or harmony, especially spiritually. It's not uniformity. It's not us all being the same. It's unity in relationship and purpose through the Holy Spirit. So when we put the mission over us, that's when unity starts to form. When we are all looking and moving the same direction for the same reason, that's when we begin to have unity. It's all about what our focus is. How many people remember what Brother Grant used to say back in the day? He used to make a quote, and I found out it wasn't his. It was somebody else's. He used to say, he jumped on his horse and he rode off in all directions all at once. You know who quoted that? Will Rogers. Will Rogers said that. You young people, Google it. Okay, it's on TikTok somewhere. Okay? Will Rogers said, but Brother Grant used to say it all the time. And the point is, when you say, he jumped on his horse and rode off in all directions all at once, there's not a mission. Sometimes we see that in a church. Well, you go do that, and you go do that, and I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to have this group, and you have this group, and I'll have this study, and you do this. And it's like, that's what it looks like to jump on a horse and ride off in all directions all at once. There's not a mission. And without a mission, there's not unity. There's confusion and unfocused action. And so the focus for us for this year, for 2025, I've been saying it over and over again tonight. Like I said, a little bit of a family business meeting, okay? Our number one focus this year is prayer. And our mission with prayer is to keep prayer at the center of all we do as individuals, as leaders, and as a church, becoming people, families, and a community deeply grounded in prayer. Our first mission for this year is prayer. And do you know how? Do you know the opportunities you have to take part in that? Number one, we have prayer meetings. This Friday at 8 on August 1st at 7 p.m., there is a prayer meeting as a church. And God has been moving in those prayer meetings. I believe the results that we are seeing in the church in the last month to a month and a half have been directly a result of the prayer meetings that we've been having for a couple years now, that we've been really ramping up. We've had prayer walks. We had a prayer walk on July 12th, which was awesome. If you were there, you knew how awesome it was. We have one coming up on August 21st on the Madison campus. We'll have four more walks being scheduled. And then we're going to have passive prayer walks where you can say, hey, I just want to go walk a community, and we'll give you the sheet, tell you where to walk and what to pray for. And then you can let God speak to you as you're praying. We're revising our pre-service prayer. There is a prayer room available right now 24/7 that if you want access to, you see Brother Phil, he'll get you a key fob number so you can get in and you can spend time praying. And lastly, this fall, we're going to have a 24-hour prayer time where we all take a turn. People take turns, and we are praying around the clock. If prayer is if it is our focus, if it is our mission, then what we're doing has to align with that. And so if we want to align with the mission of keeping prayer at the center of all we do, then we go to prayer meetings. We do prayer walks. We have pre-service prayer, and we attend. We go to the prayer. You know, at home, you can go to your prayer room. There's a prayer room available here as well, and we're going to be going to 24-hour prayer. The second focus for 2025 is meeting our community needs. The mission is to identify and meet the real felt needs of our community face-to-face. Face-to-face. Not through one of those apps where you donate $3 for somebody in, you know, Zimbabwe. Face-to-face. Serving people where they are, when they need it, with grace and truth. We started this already by getting out into our community. We have some events coming up that we'll be announcing. But also, I want to encourage you, if there are needs in your community, if there are needs in your family, in your neighborhood, start to say see how you can meet those needs. And one of them is Summer Fun Fest. That's a big outreach, right? I know it's not a direct need, but it's saying, hey, there's an opportunity here. We're going to be talking about hope and Summer Fun Fest.
And the last part of our focus for the year is that a focus on God doing a good work in our lives and in our church, changing our mindset. Okay, so God doing a good work in our lives and our church. And if you think, Peter, that doesn't align. Well, let me just tell you something. If our focus and mission are prayer and meeting needs, when we see Jesus, what do we see him doing the most of? Prayer and meeting needs. When Jesus was asked, what is the number one commandment? He said to love God and to love others. And that's why we're talking about God doing a good work in us and good work through us. We are talking about prayer and finding and meeting needs in this community. That's our mission this year. And so if that's our mission, I want to encourage you about how the mission is beneficial. First, I want to say that focusing on the mission keeps your eyes off the crowd. Focusing on the mission keeps your eyes off the crowd. Let's go to John 21, verse 20. It says, then Peter, and listen, if you know this, I love this verse. It's one of my favorite verses. You will hear me preach this 100 times before I leave. Okay, so don't get sick of it. Then Peter turning around. Actually, until we stop acting like Peter, then I'll stop. Then Peter turning around saw the disciple who Jesus loved following him, who also had leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? But Peter seeing him said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? So once again, Peter's walking. He's talking to Jesus. He sees John. John doesn't want to put his name in here because he wrote it and he knows he's the favorite. You know what I'm saying? Peter sees him and says, Jesus, what about this guy? Now, let me set the stage for you because right before this is what's one of the most powerful moments in Peter's life when Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. And there was this moment with Peter where it started to make sense to him now. He had this just awesome moment, connection with God. It's almost like he went to North American Youth Congress. And the next moment, literally they get up from the fire and start walking. He's like, but what about him, God? What about him? What about him? What about him? And God's like, what? Peter, we just had this awesome moment. And Peter's like, but Lord, what about him? Peter's looking around. Verse 22, and Jesus said to him, if I will that he remains till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Following Jesus was their mission. They were called to drop their nets and follow him. And when we focus on the mission, when we focus on Jesus, we focus less on the crowd. When we focus on Jesus, it helps us to focus less on the crowd. Instead of saying, okay, I need to stop looking at the crowd. I need to stop. We'll just start looking at the mission. And then we won't have to look at the crowd. Jesus is showing us that following him is the most important thing. And from a broader perspective, the mission in this sense is more important than me. It's more important than my wants. It's more important than my comparisons. It's more important than that petty bickering and one-upping and offenses that happen amongst people. Sometimes even church people. But too often we come with our brothers and our sisters. It's like, well, they sat where I like to sit. I'm not letting them forgive that. And God's like, no, focus on the mission. Like, but I can't. I can't let it go. I can't let it go. Focus on the mission. It will start to die away. The things of this earth will grow strangely dim when we start focusing on his glory and his grace. But we're doing it backwards. We're trying to let me just white knuckle my way into not thinking about how athletic this guy is and I'm not as good as him. You know what? How about I forget that and just focus on the mission? Focusing on the mission keeps our eyes off the crowd. Jesus is telling us the mission is more important than what the crowd is doing. And when we focus on prayer and meeting needs in our community, what everyone else is doing won't really matter. When we focus on prayer and meeting needs in our community, what everyone else is doing won't really matter. Focusing on the mission fuels my endurance. Doesn't seem to make sense. Trust me, I'm knee deep in it. Focusing on the mission fuels my endurance. Imagine Jesus just about to die on the cross, an excruciating death. Luke 22:42, he says, Father, if it's your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. It was because Jesus' focus was on us, on reaching the lost, on forgiving people, on getting past the petty bickering and offenses. It was because Jesus' focus was on the mission that he could endure through the pain and the cost of what he had to go through. When we focus on prayer and meeting needs in our community, then it's a lot harder to focus on our hardships. It's a lot harder to focus on the things that we're going through. It's like, yep, that's there, but the mission is what I'm doing. Yes, I got to go to work. I got to make some money for my family. I got things, but I'm going to focus on the mission. And when I focus on the mission, it fuels my endurance. And Jesus is saying, the mission is not my mission. It's not what I want, but what you want, God. And so too often we say, well, this seems like a good mission. I'm going to go this way. And there we all are on our horses riding off in all directions all at once. Focusing on the mission brings unity and growth. Ephesians 2:19 through 22 says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. It's saying that we go from being strangers and foreigners to being part of something. To now we're part of this mission. We're not the goal of the mission anymore. We're part of the mission. We're not strangers or foreigners anymore. We've been called children of God. It says we're fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Our foundation has been by the prophets and by the apostles and Bishop Grant and Pastor Roy. Our foundation has been laid. And we are all just pieces being fit together. But if you want to be a piece sitting over here and not a piece on the building that God is building, that's the mission, that doesn't bring unity and growth. But you know where the unity and growth is? With the people that are being built. The people that are being fitted together. That are growing into something. Sometimes you do feel like a CMU block sitting there. You're just all wedged in here. And you don't really see what's going on, but it's like, I'm just part of this mission. Here I am, getting slathered with mortar. And then it all ends, and you look up, you're like, look at this thing that God built. Because we were all willing to be a part of the mission. We were willing to be fitted together. We were willing to be in uncomfortable situations because of the mission. And because of that, God built something amazing. It's all about Jesus. When we focus on prayer and meeting needs in our community, we are in the perfect spot for God to do a good work in our lives, in our church, and in our community. And lastly, focusing on the mission multiplies the result. Acts 2, 40, 41 through 47 says this, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with the people. And the Lord added to the church daily who were being saved. We see this idea directly. These people, they have this experience with God. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. And they're like, what's next? We want to be a part of this. What's next? And what do? They go pursue God and they go meet people. They focus on God through doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. And they're out there sharing the gospel to everybody that will hear it. They're out there sharing the good news. They say, our mission is to draw closer to God and share this good news. And if it means that I'm going to just chill and eat with this brother or this sister, that's what it's going to happen. Because
me is less important than the mission. Focusing on the mission is what brings results. Not focusing on the process. Not focusing on the person. Not focusing on the building. It's focusing on the mission that brings results. When our focus is off of each other and off of ourselves, God can and will move. When our mission becomes what's common, God will multiply. When we focus on prayer and meeting needs in our community, God will multiply the results. Because I believe we can have results, but I believe we can have God-multiplied results when our mission is prayer and meeting needs in our community, and that brings us together. Can we stand tonight? Focusing on the mission keeps your eyes off the crowd. Focusing on the mission will fuel your endurance. Focusing on the mission will bring unity and growth. And focusing on the mission will bring the results, will multiply the results. And so tonight, I want to give everybody a chance to respond. Not to me. I want you to respond to what God is saying. Maybe it was a verse that struck you or a thought or a saying. I don't know. But God is speaking to us tonight. Maybe refocusing our direction to the mission. If you're finding your focus is down and not up, if your focus is in and not out, join the mission of prayer and meeting needs in our community. If you're looking for God's will for your life in this season, join the mission of prayer and meeting needs in our community. If you're looking for what should me and my family focus on right now, join the mission of prayer and meeting the needs in our community. Maybe God's nudging you to a little more consistent prayer times. Maybe he's nudging you to a little bit more of a deeper devotional in meditation on his word. Maybe he's nudging you to start seeing and noticing and acting on the needs in your circle of influence. Not waiting for the church to do it. Y'all don't get a church credit card, Phil. Maybe he's showing you needs. Maybe he's showing you the needs in your circle of influence at your job and your neighborhood and your community. Whatever it is, God is calling you to mission. And that means setting aside me. It means setting aside you. My desires, my wishes, and my needs. Come take some time. Come down to the front. Come talk to God. I don't know where you're at. I don't know where you're going. But pursuing the mission can't hurt. Let's talk to God tonight.